This is probably a conversation I would need to have with my kids, right? I assume this is not a conversation you might, if some of you might have had that with your parents, but today we're going to talk about internet, talk about technology and cell phone use. We're going to close out our series on Guy Talk, Girl Talk. And as you guys all know, you know, the danger of technology, cell phone and all that. But the accessibility of technology, internet is so rampant that perhaps in a few years, we really need to start talking to kids at that age, because slowly they, as a baby, they will start having cell phones, right? I want to share a quote with you. You might not know him, but he's a British admiral, Vice Admiral Horatio Nelson. He once says this: "Every sailor is a bachelor when beyond Gibraltar." Every sailor is a bachelor, meaning every person who is married will act and behave like a single person, a single man, once again, at the moment when they went beyond Gibraltar. Now, you remember your history, Gibraltar is right on the edge between between the Mediterranean Sea and the Atlantic Ocean. So for the European countries, for the Middle East, this is the only way out into the Atlantic Ocean. What the Vice Admiral was saying is this: Once people enter into this open sea in the Atlantic Ocean, somehow married men and women all of a sudden forget that they are married. They start acting like single guys, they start drinking, like they start getting drunk, they start slipping women, they start losing all that control, all that responsibility, forget who they are as they enter into the sea of unknown. There is something to be said. This is such a wise saying, because you and I perhaps don't live and don't enter into the Atlantic Ocean, but we do enter into a world that is far more dangerous than the Atlantic Ocean. We enter into a world called the internet. We enter into the cyberspace where everything is accessible to you and I. You know, back then it's hard because it's harder because you can't be anonymous. You live in close quarter, people know you, you live in town, everybody else know you. But you and I now can sit in a room like this and talk to someone halfway around the world without any of us knowing. You can be anonymous, you can be not known, you can hide in secret, people wouldn't have known what you were doing. And that's what makes cyberspace, internet, technology, and folks so dangerous. You get to choose what you put online. You can create the image that you want people to get about you. You can limit the people who can follow you. You can limit the people who you don't want to follow you. So we live in a world that's far more dangerous, and I would argue and I would suggest to you that each one of us start being a bachelor, start living an uncontrolled life when we're not careful, when we enter into our world, our Gibraltar of the cyberspace. Now, of course, you and I both know that technology, internet, and social media is not all bad, because it does a lot of good for a lot of people. Does anyone know who this is? No? Anyone? Susan Boyle. She was this famous star in Britain. She didn't look very nice, so people at first didn't like her. But then her voice was amazing. So eventually, she sold a lot of singles, and her debut album sold for 700,000. Just to give you some perspective, you know Whitney Houston was a great singer who passed away, 305,000. Mariah Carey, 168,000 for the first album. Susan Boyle, a known YouTube star, made $700,000. They sold 700,000 albums just through the internet. That definitely benefited him. You might not know this guy. This guy, his name is Jason Sandler. He set out to wear a new shirt every single day and blog about it. For 365 days, he wore a different shirt, and he blogged about that shirt, and by the end of the year, he made $83,000. Who said you can't make money on the internet? Perhaps you should start a blog, wear a different pair of pants every single day, and start writing about it. Then you also have 2011. You remember in Egypt, there was a revolution. It was called the Twitter Revolution, because when it first started, it was started with a small group of people, but through Facebook and Twitter, it got caught. By the world, and in Egypt, they start in the capital, they start overthrowing the government because of the power of internet. They overcome the corruption, they overcome the dictatorship, and so as a result of that, internet does amazing things. If you know, some of you know the TGC, the Gospel Coalition, there are messages on there, there are workshops on there, there are articles on there. If you don't like my sermon, you can go to John Piper, go to desire.org. There's great sermons on there by all these amazing, more knowledgeable, godly people all over the internet. And in my personal life, I literally every single morning when I do my devotion, I need my phone and my iPad. I journal on my iPad because it syncs up with my phone so I can read it and look it up. I use a reading plan on my phone that I don't keep track of what I need to read. I just turn on my phone. It will tell me exactly what I need to read the next day. Technology can be an amazing, amazing thing. Very, very useful thing. I joked with Hannah. Her sister is a missionary overseas. The sisters talk more when her sister is actually overseas. When she's home, they don't talk as much, even though we live only a couple miles away from her. But when she's overseas, they talk every single Saturday morning. Halfway around the world. Technology, internet, our phones, our social media can be very, very powerful, but it can also cause a whole lot of damage when it's unrestrained, when it's uncontrolled. Right? You think about your mouth. Your saliva is good, but did you know that your mouth is one of the dirtiest places on earth? It has germs and bacteria in there. And so what happens is when you don't brush your teeth, what would happen? Your teeth are getting cavities. Like my oldest son had to pull out one of his teeth prematurely because he hasn't brushed his teeth carefully. So the germs, while they're supposed to defend and keep your mouth safe, ended up killing the teeth. The same thing can happen when we are unrestrained, when we're uncontrolled with the world of Gibraltar, of cyberspace that we live in this open sea of internet, when it's not careful, we can easily be thrown and become a part of that world. But for most of you, I think most of us here live in a world, you're a part of what I call the digital native, right? You are born with internet. You don't remember a time when you grew up that there's no internet. How many of you have a phone? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. How many of you have internet at home? Keep your hands up. How many of you have a data plan on your phone? So quite a bit of you. How many of you remember a time when there's no internet in this world? Okay, you were born, right? It just didn't exist in your home. But look at my third son. He is so natural. We never taught him, this is how you swipe the phone. This is how you turn on the phone. But he knew exactly what he needs to do. He pressed the home button, hoping that it will unlock the phone, but good thing I have a password on there. And he just keeps swiping and pinching. He act like he knew the phone, and he is only a year and 2 months old. See, we all live in this world that we live in a world that is internet is always accessible. You can't get out of it, and to be honest, a lot of times, for all of us here, we're pretty young, we tend to get this bad, we got blamed by our parents or our generations, oh, you generation, you guys are always on your phone, right? You have no choice but to be on your phone, that's all you know, right? So while it is not your fault to be living in a world that's filled with technology, internet, and social media, but I would encourage you and exhort you that as a Christian, while it's not your fault to live in this generation, you have a responsibility to live in a life that reflect and bring glory to God. Every generation has their unique challenge, and you and I have a different challenge. Part of it is that we live in a world where every click, every swipe, every pinch on our screen matters. And it can do great good, or it can do great harm. And there will not be a day for you that you will look at your day and you say, I don't need my phone. I don't need my internet. I don't need my computer. All of you. And earlier in our small group, I asked our junior high boys, how many of you have a laptop, a personal laptop? Almost every one of them raised their hand. And when I was in college, that was my first time having my own laptop, my own computer. So we all live in this age that we are accessible to internet. We have social media. We have internet. But here's the thing. Every click and every swipe, every pinch matters. What you do on the internet matters. Now, I'm not going to tell you that there's a word internet, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram in the Bible. Because it's not there. But what does this book have to say about something in the 21st century that all of us use? I think this is what makes the Bible so unique and different. Because while there's not the word internet, Wi-Fi, Instagram, Snapchat, in this book. But the Word of God is still relevant, is still teaching us the things that will guide and help us to live alive to, for, in order for every click, every swipe, every pinch to matter and bring glory to God. So here's what I want to talk to us about today from the Word of God and how we can do that. How can we live in this dangerous world of the internet and yet still maintain integrity and bring glory to God? First of all, every click, every swipe, every pinch matters because it shapes us. Some of you notice already there is a shovel here. Now this is not my shovel, it's an awfully clean shuffle. It's actually Enoch's shuffle. His dad's shovel, I don't know why Enoch doesn't use it, but if you have ever used a shovel, shovel is used to dig up your dirt and to plant tree. It can be used for good, it can be used for bad. Right? You can plant a tree, you can plant a garden, or you can whack somebody on the head with this. So if you fall asleep in this sermon, this is what's gonna happen to you. Right? So a shovel can be for good, can be for bad, but here's the thing, if you ever use a shovel for an extended period of time, you will know that your hands will be calloused. There's no way someone who can use a shovel and not have calloused hands, even with gloves. Because by nature, the shovel shapes your hand. By nature, the shovel will put an impact in your life. And the same is true about our internet. The same is true about our devices. The same is true about social media. It will always, always, always shape you. Whether you use it for good or use it for bad, but here's the thing, if you use it for good, it will shape you for good, but if you use it for bad, it will shape you for bad. Think about the time that you use on the internet. How much time we spend on the internet? You know, put this down before anyone get hurt. You might not be able to see it. It says this, 2.03 billion people in the world are connected to the internet. That's like, how many people do we have? 7 billion people? Almost a third of the people in this world are connected to the internet. Social networking account, 28% of people spending time online is not for homework, it's not for studying, it's not for the project, it's for media, social media. 18% of social media users can't go a few hours without checking their Facebook. Now, I'm sure it doesn't apply to any of you, right? 39,757 years of our time is collectively spent on Facebook in every single day. Now, this is only for Facebook, but think about your Twitter, your Snapchat, whatever other social media that you're on. We spend a whole lot of time in this world called the internet. And believe it or not, whether we admit it or not, it shapes us. It can shape us for good, it can shape us for bad. Here the problem is, when we spend so much time on something, sometimes we don't realize whether it is true or not on the internet, isn't it? How many of you like to use Wikipedia? I use it all the time. If you don't know the answer, I just look it up. Oh, Wikipedia says this, right? But did you know that Wikipedia is not the gospel truth? There are things on the Wikipedia that's not right, because not everyone contributed on there that has integrity to put the right information on there. That's why your teacher said what? You cannot quote from Wikipedia, right? And even in the Wikipedia website, there's an about tab there. It will tell you that this is not encyclopedia quality of information. So don't use it for that purpose. But for many of us, internet, when we approach the internet, we think of the internet, we take everything there as true. Let me test you a little bit. Do you believe that there's an energy spray that is a new alternative to energy drink? How many of you believe this is true? Raise your hand. Okay, less than half of you. Yes, there is actual energy spray that you can spray it on yourself instead of drinking that 5-hour energy or whatever energy drink that you have. Here's another one. There is an adventure kitten gear that you can put on your cat to travel and go hiking with you. True or false? How many think it's real? It's not real. You see, many times we come on the internet, we think there are many things that looks true, can feel true, it must be true, but at the end, when we find out that it's not true, or worse yet, we don't even know that it is not true. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 gave us a great principle, a great warning, a great command. Here's what it says. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In another translation, in the J.B. Phillips translation, I love that translation of this verse. It says, do not be squeezed into the world's mold. Have you ever played Play-Doh? Like, my kids love playing Play-Doh. They have these mold. Like, they have this thing that makes, like, frosting on a cupcake. So you just put the Play-Doh in, and you just push it, and it'll come out, like, nice, like, curly, and, like, really looks like real frosting. What this verse is saying, the same thing. Don't let the world squeeze you in this mold. When we go look at the internet, when we approach it, when we are not checked, when we're not renewed by the truth of God, what we're essentially doing is we are just letting the world dictate who we are. We are like that shuffle. We get shaped by the world. We get shaped by what it says is true or what it says is wrong. But instead, we need to change our mindset. We get brainwashed by the world, but what we really need is we need to change our mind according to God's truth. Think about the time that you are on the internet. Think about the time that you click on, the things that you click on, the things that you do on the internet. How is this shaping your worldview? How is it shaping the way you think about things? I like it like this. I don't know how rivers are normally formed. The rivers are normally formed because there's a continuous water source that keeps flowing in the same place over and over and over again. And after a period of time, it edged. Literally, it etched a tunnel on the ground. And as the water continues to go through, it will etch a deeper and a deeper tunnel. And soon, the water starts filling up. It becomes a river. The same thing is the internet. The same thing is true about what the internet is doing to you and I. If we're not careful, we are letting the internet, what are true or false things in the internet, to etch the shape of our hearts. We start forming things that occur, changing the way we think, changing the way we even look at God. Perhaps you might think, every click and every swipe and every pinch, though it's really small, it shapes us physically. I was reading this study that because we are like this all the time, soon, in 20 years, our kids will start having tendonitis on their wrist, on their back problem, because we're constantly looking like down like this. They're starting to have finger problems because that is what we do all the time. So physically, we get affected. Emotionally, we get affected. My boys love this YouTube video. I know they're young, but they are addicted to YouTube. There is one channel called EvanTube. You know EvanTube?
Yeah.
These two kids that show these toys, and what happened is, it shaped my kids to think that I need that toy. So you ever come to my house, and most of you have, almost exclusively every toy that they have are demonstrated on that YouTube video by Evan, because my kids feel like that should be the toy that I need to get. Emotionally, they don't even think that there are many other toys out there. But because Evan plays it, Julian plays it, I must have it. They are not thinking that they get shaped by this. And I think furthermore, spiritually, we get shaped by that, don't we? Because we get this, I mean, one of the ways we get shaped spiritually by the internet is very simple. We think the more information we get, and that's all we really need. Even the good information, good biblical information, if I just know more, read more articles from online by John Piper, by Matt Chandler, by all these great Christians, other Christians, if I get more information, that means I would be more mature in my faith. But the scripture tells not the ones who know more that is closer to God, but the one who live it out. Not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. More information doesn't make you. More information is a start, but doesn't make you. So also, we have a lot of Christians who hear a lot of sermons, who listen to a lot of workshops. I mean, I listen to a ton of podcasts from people who are great leaders in the church. But to be honest, how many of those things am I practicing every single day? I know more than what I can practice. So I get shaped in the same way spiritually, thinking that if I just listen to this by osmosis, I must have this maturity in faith. But that's not true. That's why every click, every pinch, every swipe matters, because it shapes you. But not only does it shape you, here's what it does. It reveals who you are. So I have a mirror here. I'm going to put it right in front of Casey. Make him really uncomfortable. He can look at himself the whole time. If you ever wake up in the morning, now everyone's looking at him. If you look at that mirror, There is no lying in that mirror. Every morning when you wake up, if your hair is messed up, the mirror doesn't say, no, you're, it's not a fairy tale, right? It doesn't say, oh, you look really, really beautiful. If your hair is messed up, it's messed up. If you have a piece of rice on your cheek, there is a piece of rice on your cheek. The mirror doesn't lie. The mirror just reflects who you are. The mirror doesn't, unless you draw it intentionally on there, right? But if you look in the mirror, that's what it reflects. It tells you truly who you are. There is no hiding from it. The same is true. Every click, every pinch, every swipe that you put on the internet, it reflects who you are. It doesn't just shame you. It tells you who you are. It puts a profile of you. You think you are putting a profile, creating a profile of yourself. But in reality, it is showing you the profile, who you really are. It reflects our true identity. Mark chapter 7, verse 14 to 15 and 20-23 says this. And he called, Jesus called the people to him again and said to him, said to them, hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him. And he's, and then verse 20 to 22, and he said, continue on in the interaction with these people. Jesus said this, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. What this passage is saying is that every time you click on something bad, it's not that those bad things are only influencing you. Every time you click on something that is not right with God, it shows what is really inside of you. The passage is talking about eating. It's not what you eat that makes you dirty, it's what comes out of your heart that makes you dirty. Think about the websites that you visit. Think about the image that you've seen. Think about the things that you've heard. The posts that you have put on the Facebook, the things that you have liked, every one of those click, swipe, and pinch reflects who you are. It is like a mirror. It shows exactly who you are. Every time you click on something, it is a vote that you're voting on that thing. And the crazy thing is someone is actually listening and hearing what you're clicking, what you are commenting on. Many of us think the internet is a very safe place. We think that I only do this in my bedroom, I only do it in a room, and no one can see it. But the reality is everyone, many, many people, many companies are listening, paying attention. Every ping that, every signal that you send by liking something is sent a signal back to the server of that company. And they're recording what you're doing. Think about all the political campaigns that have been done in history. Even the last campaign that we have for presidential election. Everyone thinks that the emails can be deleted. You think Snapchat can be disappeared. But there is one signal that you have sent. It will goes back to, it will go back to the company. It will go back to, it can always be found out. So not only does God know, which is reason enough for us to be careful of your play, God knows what you're doing. A whole good part of the world also knows what you're doing as well. Every click counts and every click is counted by someone so that they can continue to feed you more of what you, who you are, more to feed you the evil that comes out of your heart. Look, listen to the things that was said by Jesus. From within, out of the heart of man, think about the things you clicked on, think about the things you've read. Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, theft, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. Are there any posts that you put that belongs to one of those? Any click, any things that you've seen that would categorize as that? Because if you click on that, if you look at that, if you continue to pay attention to that, the company like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, they'll continue to feed you those things that already you're struggling with. If you don't know, Facebook track you quite extensively. Every time you log in with a third-party extension, whenever you see that box in another website says, sign in through Facebook, you are giving permission to that third party on top of Facebook to track your usage. So maybe the game that you're playing with your friends on Facebook, you are giving that company continue to track your usage of the things that you're open, the things you're looking at, and guess what? Once you do that multiple times, they got you. They'll continue to send you more. Oh, you like things are not right? But in their mind, they think it's right. Well, I'll give you more. I'll show up as. Have you ever felt like when you go on Facebook or some of these social media, you feel like they can read your mind? Like when you go Google, it's like, wait, I just looked up this thing on Amazon. How they show up on my Google search? It looks like someone's right behind me knowing exactly what I just did. Well, the reality is they do know what you're doing. And here's what happens. It reflects you. Not only does it reflect you, it continues to feed you more and more and more and more those yucky things that are in our hearts that are not right with God. And so we got to be careful. In every click that we have, every swipe that we have, every time we use the internet. So not only does it reflect us, I'll turn this up so Casey doesn't feel awkward. It reflects us like a mirror. It shapes us like a shuffle. It'll always form us, no matter what we use on the internet, whether for good or for bad. Here's the last thing. Every click matters because it masters us. It can master us if you let it. You can quickly become a slave to whatever you're looking at, whatever you're posting, whatever that you're feeding into that sea of Gibraltar of cyberspace. If you let it, it will master you. You guys know there's a trade, right? This is a trade because there is edges. There are boundaries. There are corners. When I put things in here, is in the trade, not outside. That's what separated. That's what we need. Because every click matters, it can master us. We need to have boundaries in our use of social media. Because if you do not have boundaries in your social media, and I'm not talking strictly to the youth. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to all of us here because we all live in a world where the internet, social media can master us. We need boundaries. We need a trade in our lives. Maybe we need a physical trade in our life, in our house, in our church, in our family. Scripture tells us this, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. I'm reading it from the NSV. Says this, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. I think NIV says all things are beneficial, but not all things are profitable. So everything can be lawful because with the freedom of Christ, internet, as we've shown, can be great. But are you the master of it, or it is the master of you? I think in our heart, we all know that it's so easy for it to be the master of us, right? I think it's really interesting. Even God himself put boundaries in what he does. When you go back to your creation account, God created the world in how many days? 6 days. On the seventh day, what happened? He rested. Is it because God was tired? Was it because God wanted a day off? Right, God put boundaries in work because even with work, work was not a punishment of sin at this point. Work was only a punishment of sin after Adam and Eve sinned. Work was a good thing, and God himself put boundaries on work so that work would not be the primary thing. Work would not be God himself. God put boundaries and the seventh day off. And so for you and I, if God needs to put boundaries, how much more do you and I should put boundaries? See, without boundaries, we can quickly be mastered by internet. I don't know how many of you ever seen this picture in real life. When I go out to eat, it happens all the time. There's family next to me. Each person will be on a device. I'm sure none of your families do that, okay? But I've seen other families done that. They all the food comes. Everyone look up. Even I've seen a Christian family say grace together. Then they go to the food, and then they go back to their own device and start eating on their own. It's almost like five people eating on their own. They just happen to be in the same restaurant. Right? That's what happens when we don't put boundaries. And I like it in this way. You would never leave your front door open at home when you go to sleep, right? No matter how safe that environment is, you would not leave it wide open and say, let's go to sleep together. Let's go to our bed and sleep. Just leave the front door open because we're in a safe place. You would never do that. Because what would happen? Someone's going to rob you. Right? Someone might bring a shovel to your house. Right? You would never do that because visibly we know that will be a danger waiting to be happen. But every time when we don't set boundaries in our lives with devices like these, we are essentially leaving the front door wide open. to a world who is far more dangerous, yet invisible to us. We can see a robber coming, and we can see someone coming there to do bad things. There are a lot more bad things than evil that can be done through the internet, and yet we left that door wide open all the time. But the scripture tells us, yes, many things are lawful, it can be beneficial. Internet, social media, all those things can be good, can be beneficial, but yet when you get mastered by it, when you let it to master you, that becomes a problem. Now, I was reminded about that recently. You know, one of the things I am just as guilty as many of you. One of the first things I do when I wake up, my phone is next to me. First thing I do is I just turn on my phone and look at what I need to do that day. I look at the news, I look at the updates, any messages. And I was so convicted as I was talking to Hannah. And even when we're driving, sometimes I'm just listening to things and I completely forget that there are other people, like literally right there with me. And so I just go quickly into the internet, I go quickly and start getting mastered by it. And so one of the things I want to challenge you is this: what kind of boundaries do you put? And I know it's hard. I know it's hard, especially for those of us who are a little younger. What kind of boundaries are you putting on yourself? And if you don't put on yourself, are you willing to open to other people to put around you? Because if you're not willing to do that, the scripture says you are slaves to that. You're no longer master to that. And the reality is many of us are unwilling to do it ourselves. So these suggestions are for you, but really suggestions are for you to bring to another person, so that they are willing to do it for you. But you need to be willing to do it. The first thing it says, do you have a designated off time? I find it extremely funny because every phone and iPad and computer that I have, any device I have, there's always an on-off button. But I can count on one hand how many times I actually turn on my phone. Like, literally off. Most of the time it's just sleep. But you know it's not sleeping because the notification keep popping up, right? How many times have you turned on your phone completely? And they make it so hard for you to turn it off. You have to call it down and swipe to turn it off. So it's so much easier just kind of hit it once, go to sleep, pretending that I'm off. But isn't it true that we are living in such slavery to this thing? Though again, can be for good. Do you have off time in your life that there's no cell phones, there's no iPad, there's no internet? I want to suggest a few times for that. One is when you eat dinner with your family. Maybe your family needs a basket that we all, if you don't know, Chick-fil-A a while back actually had this promotion that if you eat at Chick-fil-A with your family, you put your phones in your basket, they give you like free burger or something like that. They try to promote family actually looking at each other when they eat and interact. Perhaps you and I need that. We don't need our phone when we're eating. We need to look and interact with our family. Another time, maybe you need it is when you're in the car. In the car, maybe you don't need to put your ear pod, you don't need to be listening to anything, and I'm quite guilty of that. Because perhaps in the car, that's when there's other people in your car. That is the time that you can interact with your friends, with your family members. But what do we do? The first thing we do, whoop, put it on. First thing we do, I'm checking something. Even though there are seven people in the same car, again, we just happen to be in the same place at the same time, but we're doing seven different things. We lost track of the present of the people. I mean, let's be real. This weekend we did 30-hour famine. I walked by the girls' room, everyone is down this. I walked to the room where we hang out, everyone was doing this. I find myself doing the same exact thing. So we have 26 people in the same room when we have free time, we're all doing the same exact thing instead of interacting with one another. So we need boundaries, I need boundaries. But not only that, what kind of filters do you have on your computer, on your phone? I know, let's be real, like we're not setting up a filter on our own. Right? Earlier in our small group, we talked about putting password, but let me put my own password in. Because that's really effective, because when I'm struggling, I'm going to forget my password. Or what kind of filters do you put in? What kind of things do you put in that will help you prevent you preemptively to be tempted? Lastly is this, who is keeping you accountable? Do you have someone that's keeping you accountable? Do you have someone that will call you out? Do you have someone that actually know what you're doing? I don't get any commission from them, but I want to encourage you. One suggestion, one thing I use, this is not a foolproof thing. There's a website called covenanteyes.com. On it, there's filter. On it, there's accountability. On it, you can assign someone to send a report. It will track your usage for internet. It will flag the websites that you're not supposed to go on based on your maturity that was chosen. I find it to be a very, very useful tool, and it's very, very affordable. And if you find that yourself, you don't have any accountability, you don't have any filters, you don't have any boundaries in your life when you're using it, and it can be put on your iPad, laptop, iPhone. I mean, most cell phones can be used. It's not an Apple product thing. So it can be used for non-Apple products as well. But if there's nothing, I hope that this can be a resource.